Well, I just want to welcome you back. If you've exited the room and you're back in now, we have a very special guest this morning, and I'm super excited, super blessed. Rabbi Jerry Miller and his wife Jo are here. They drove in from Kansas City this morning, and just to really to bless our congregation. We want to bless them as well, but just a little bit of background on the Millers. They have been serving in Messianic ministry for several decades now, 40 years now, 40 years. They were assistants under Dan and Patty Jester in Rockville, Maryland, and Beth Messiah. They've had led their own congregations, I believe, in Florida. Anywhere else?
Just Florida.
In Florida, and are now all back in Kansas City or in Kansas City now. Helping with the congregation there, with Rich Cleary, whom you met. He was at our congregational meeting here last month. So they're serving in the congregation there in Kansas City, in Overland Park, actually. And so we're just blessed that they could come here today and just be with us as a congregation. It's always wonderful to have a rabbi who has been so seasoned in the ministry and to share with us what the Lord has pressed on their heart. And I know the Holy Spirit is really pressing into them as well and giving them words for us today. So even after Rabbi Jerry speaks, and I believe that, that Jo has some words for us as a congregation, so we're going to invite her to share with us a word that the Spirit has given to her to speak to us as well. And then afterwards, after we finish the service, we dismiss, and folks can go to Oneg and whatnot. We will stick around up here for a time of ministry. If the Lord is pressing on you that you would need some form of ministry, we will still remain up here and be ready to serve and to minister to you and with you, to pray with you in whatever way we can minister to you in that time. So. Rabbi Jerry and Jo have been so gracious to be here with us, and so Rabbi Jerry, I'd like to invite you to come forward and share with us what the Lord has put in your heart this morning. Thank you.
Well, Shabbat Shalom. It's really a delight to be with you this morning, and as Philip shared, we've had quite a few years in ministry. I grew up in a non-believing Jewish home, secular Jewish home, actually not from Kansas City, but originally I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but in 1975, I came to faith in Yeshua. I was 24 years old, and I met Joe about 6 months later, and then we got married in 1977, and we've just been blessed to be a part of the Messianic world from the early days, not the earliest days, but some of the earlier days in the movement. When we began, there were probably maybe 12 to 15 congregations just in the country. And so it should give us an idea of what God is doing right now with Jewish people in the fact that there's just dozens and dozens, hundreds of Messianic congregations in this country and throughout the world. And so we're delighted to be a part of that. And as Philip mentioned, we're in Maryland, part of Beth Messiah, kind of the home congregation out of which Tikkun was founded. We were at Beth Messiah for 25 years, and then in the year 2000, we moved down to Florida. We led a congregation, Beth Judah Messianic Congregation, for 13 years. And then in 2012, the Lord really spoke to us very dramatically that we were to release our congregation and move into kind of an itinerant traveling ministry. And so we were located in Spokane, Washington for 5 years, then back to the East Coast for a couple of years. And now we are in Kansas City, right in the middle of the country, it seems. And we're glad to be a part of Kingdom Living and happy to be here with you this morning. So actually, before I go on, let me just pray, and why don't we pray together. Father, thank you for this season. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our hearts, in our lives. Thank you that you call us your sons and daughters, and that we can know you, we can know your voice, we can know your goodness and love. And I ask, Lord, for just the Spirit of the living God to rest upon our hearts this morning. And as I share, Lord, I'm just recognizing my utter need for you. I need your help, Lord, to communicate not my ideas, but your heart to the folks of this congregation. So I ask that you'd bless us in these, over this next 40, 45 minutes or so, and just minister to us, especially, Lord, as we are on the verge of entering into this holy day season tomorrow evening. So thank you for this time, Lord, and bless this time as we consider your word. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, as we're all aware, and it's been announced, of course, that tomorrow evening begins the observance of the fall feast, the high holy days. And of course, from beginning to end over the high holy day season, from the very beginning of the sounding of the shofar until Shmini Atzeret and the eighth day, the day after Sukkot closes, there are so many powerful themes that the Lord directs our attention to. And what I'd like to share with you this morning is really, it's related to the confidence and joy that we are meant to have, even in this season of self-examination, repentance, which are so central to these next 10 days from Yom Teruah to Yom Kippur. But see, the truth is, we've got to process these days of self-examination from the place of knowing with absolute confidence the incredible love and mercy and goodness of God. I mean, it's the scripture that tells us it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So we need that confidence in his mercy and goodness. The high holy days are meant to be really seeing a time for seeing God's grace for new beginnings. Repentance paves the way for new beginnings. And it's a season for experiencing God's grace for new beginnings in our lives as we commit our hearts afresh to the Lord and to his ways, as we ask him to search our hearts, to examine our lives, and to help us to move forward in his path of righteousness and holiness. And what makes new beginnings a real possibility to us is a very simple thing. It's the reality of God's mercy and his forgiveness. Of course, the idea of being forgiven, it's so basic to our salvation. I mean, it's the basic of the basics. And yet, and this comes out of almost 30 years of pastoral ministry and congregational leadership and interacting over the years with hundreds and hundreds of people and helping folks to process through their lives the ups and downs that they go through, I'm convinced that we need to be reminding ourselves of this continually, all the time. See, we know with our minds that God is gracious, God is forgiving. But at the same time, our personal experience of the freedom of forgiveness can often seem to be lacking a bit. We can struggle with feelings of guilt, feelings of condemnation, feelings of shame. We can struggle with feeling like, I know my life just doesn't measure up to God's perfect standard. Feeling like, I know I've let God down. And so I want to look at this today, really kind of in a practical way that I trust will be encouraging to us. This is a huge issue for us because fully receiving forgiveness is really the doorway into everything that God wants to do in our lives, everything. We think about a calling and destiny in God. Forgiveness is the pathway, the beginning of the pathway into our lifetime calling and destiny in Him. But if we're really honest about it, I suspect every one of us would say that we either have experienced or maybe do experience often still having sinned in some way and then being convicted, confessing our sin, acknowledging it to God, and yet still feeling unforgiven. Still feeling a struggle to receive His mercy. So I want to focus on a particular verse that most believers are pretty familiar with, and really to unpack it a little bit, to give us a full picture of the power of forgiveness in our lives. And the verse I'm speaking of is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It's a simple verse. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Very simple, right? Not so simple always to walk out. That's what we'll be looking at this morning. This is one of those verses that many believers learn very early in our walk with God, as it's meant to give us a confidence in our being forgiven when we confess our sin to the Lord. But I want to look a little deeper into the verse, because the full picture of what it's saying is so powerful. And yet, it's something we can struggle with. It's something we can miss. So the verse emphasizes two key points in our walk with God, and about two key points about the power of salvation in our lives. The points are, when we confess our sin, we are forgiven. And also, we are cleansed of all unrighteousness. Now, what we've got to see is this. The forgiveness and cleansing that we experience is based on who God is. He is faithful, and He is just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all uncleanness, all unrighteousness. The reason we can be totally confident in being forgiven and cleansed is because God is faithful and God is just. He is faithful to show us mercy, and He is just, or He is, we could say, He is righteous in bringing cleansing to our lives. He is righteous when He calls us righteous. That's something to think about. Something we need revelation of, to be honest. He is righteous when He calls us righteous. Now, something we need to see with these two issues of God forgiving us and God cleansing us. God's forgiving us and God's cleansing of us are not just two different ways of saying the same thing. They're two very different issues, actually. And both forgiveness and cleansing are necessary to our lives. Because when you confess your sin, if you understand that God forgives you, but you figure that God still sees you as a misfit because you keep falling short in your walk with God, and you're not perfect yet. Hello? Anybody not? Is anyone here perfect yet? I'm not talking about perfected. I'm talking about perfect. We are being perfected, but we're not perfect. In other words, we think, yes, I know I'm forgiven, but I figure God must really be disappointed with me. I figure God must really be frustrated with me, upset with me. Because I keep blowing it in the same area. I seem to keep getting it wrong. I'm trying my best, but I know I'm not perfect yet. I keep falling short. If you process in that way, then you are not understanding the power of forgiveness and cleansing. So let's take a look at this. I think we can say that based on this verse, 1 John 1:9, the moment we confess our sin, the moment we ask God to forgive us, He forgives us. There's no sense here that there's got to be a certain amount of time that passes before we can feel forgiven. There's no waiting period. Okay, I hear your request for forgiveness. Now, you're on probation for a couple of days before you can feel good about seeking me again. No, that's not what God is thinking, and that's not what the scripture says. There's no sense here or anywhere else in the Bible that we do anything more than confess our sin. Now, yes, we need to mean it. We need to be sincere. We need to be truly sorry for what we've done. We need to hate our sin. That doesn't mean we hate ourselves. We separate ourselves from the sin, but we identify the sin until we've confessed it. But it's not talking about hating ourselves. We hate the sin. And it should always be our intent to turn from that sin, which is at the heart of repentance, and by God's grace, to not go back to it. These are the heart attitudes that are to be a part of true confession of our sin. But the point is, the moment we do confess our sin and ask God to forgive us, guess what? He does it. There's no waiting period. See, we can sometimes struggle with feeling forgiven even when we've confessed our sin. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying here? Yeah. I've been walking with the Lord almost 50 years now, and I still have to deal with this. It's just how we're made up as human beings. But we confess our sin to God, and then we wonder, well, what can I do, or what can I say, or how can I put it? So God will know that I really mean it. See, we struggle to simply receive the forgiveness and cleansing that God promises. And we struggle because we lose sight of these key issues of God being faithful and God being just. Now, there are two key lies that the enemy tries to use to convince us in relation to these issues of God being faithful and God being just. He gets us to believe these lies because we end up focused more on ourselves and our shortcomings rather than on God and His grace. See, if I'm focused on me all the time, I'm going to feel guilty. But if I'm focused on Him and His goodness, His grace, which is unreasonable, doesn't make sense, then I can be free to walk in fellowship with Him. So these lies are related to God's faithfulness to forgive and God's justness in cleansing us. So let's look, first of all, at the forgiveness issue. And then we'll look at the cleansing issue. And we need to know these things because in about 11 days, well, we need to know them all the time, but in 11 days especially, we'll be observing Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, where these truths become that much more meaningful and powerful and liberating to our lives. But the lies that we're tempted with about God's forgiveness can take on many forms, but the basic idea is this. I have sinned too many times, or I can't seem to get it right. I've sinned too many times. I keep stumbling over and over again, seemingly in the same areas. Or my sin is too terrible. My sin is too unclean. I feel embarrassed, I feel ashamed, and I can't see how God could just forgive me. These are just a few examples, and there are lots of variations on these kinds of thoughts, but they are lies because they go against the truth of the Word of God. And where they take us is what I am or what I've done goes beyond what's reasonable for God to forgive. How can I believe that God forgives me? It's not a reasonable proposition. And what John is pointing to is the fact that we can believe God's forgiveness for the simple reason that God is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful to forgive us. He's faithful to offer us a mercy that we do not deserve and that honestly doesn't make sense. If I'm focused on how bad my sin is, and I'm not trying to say our sin is good, our sin is bad, but if I'm focused on how bad my sin is, or how often I've stumbled, or how bad I feel about myself, I'll never be able to believe I'm forgiven. But what if it's not about me? What if it's about God's faithfulness to be merciful? Do you see? Well, that changes everything, or at least it should. It should change how we process those times when we stumble. But then, yes, we acknowledge it. We see, yes, I've sinned before God, and we confess our sin to the Lord. We can think, I just don't see how God could possibly forgive me. But see, it's because we're not grasping how faithful God is to show mercy. He is faithful. In other words, full of faith for my forgiveness, for your forgiveness. God is full of faith. He has faith for you and me to be forgiven. So why can't we have faith for that? See? We need to go past the lies. Let's quickly see this in a couple other passages. First of all, we won't turn to it, but look at it when you get a chance. Paul makes a simple statement in Romans chapter 3, verse 3. And I'm paraphrasing, but he basically is saying God's faithfulness can never be outdone by man's unfaithfulness. Very simple truth. Which tells us that no matter how bad we are, or no matter how bad we think we are, God's faithfulness will always be greater than our unfaithfulness. We've got to keep that in mind. How about Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21? But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Look at the statements here. I mean, they're just amazing statements. First, the steadfast love of God. He says you can never reach the end of it. You can't do it. It never runs out. So even when we sin, even when we fall short, God never stops loving us. And then the next statement takes it even further. His mercies as well never come to an end. God's merciful disposition to forgive can never come to an end. You cannot sin enough to reach the end of God's mercy. Now, don't hear that the wrong way, because there's a false grace message that many teach today, that you can live however you want and grace just covers you. No, that's not what I'm saying, and that's certainly not what the Bible is saying. That's false teaching. But there is an incredible grace by which God does meet us in spite of the worst of our sins. And the point here that I'm saying is his mercy is unfathomable. His mercy does not come to an end. We can't reach it. We can't reach the end of it. We can never reach the point where God says, that's it. Sorry. But God, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. No, sorry. You've come to the end. There's no more for you. Not possible. Why? Because of who God is. Great is your faithfulness. God's faithfulness here is related to his mercy. And see, that's the basis for us knowing we're forgiven, not because I've been good enough, but because he's faithful, and that never changes. He is merciful, and his mercy never runs out. We're not forgiven because we deserve mercy or because mercy even makes sense to us. And we've got to deal with that specific issue in our lives, because sometimes, because it doesn't make sense, we dismiss it. We try to make sense of God's forgiveness. Forget it. Don't try. It's a losing battle if you're trying to make sense of it. It doesn't make sense. You don't deserve to be forgiven, but you are. That's true for all of us, friends. God is faithful to be merciful. We can think, yeah, but my sin seems so great, so overwhelming, so unending. Well, that's why God's mercies are described as not coming to an end. God uses that specific wording because we can feel at times like our sins are unending. But beloved, God is bigger than we are. His mercy is bigger than our sins are. And that's why forgiveness is really a possibility for us. But we just have to take it by faith. Because God is faithful. His love never runs out. And his mercy never reaches a point of being no longer available. Doesn't reach that point. He is faithful to forgive us, and we can count on him to show us mercy and forgive, regardless of how badly we've messed up, regardless of how many times we have fallen short. And again, that's the lie that we're tempted to believe, the lie that somehow God's mercy runs out when it comes to me. I know he's good, I know he's forgiving, I know he's merciful, but when it comes to me, his mercy runs out. We actually think these things, don't we? No, his mercy's never come to an end. And we need to believe that when everything on the inside is trying to tell us, no, there's no way you can be forgiven this time, not again. Well, if it's about my sin, then no, I'm undeserving. And it makes sense that I should not be forgiven. But if it's about God's mercy, well, that changes everything. I can be confident that mercy never comes to an end, and his forgiveness is real, even for me. I love what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 18. It says that God exalts himself in showing mercy to us. He exalts himself in showing mercy to us. We've got to somehow get it in our head and our hearts that the greatness of God's character is actually magnified as he shows us mercy. Seeing it from that perspective can hopefully help us to realize that, okay, it's a righteous thing for me to receive God's forgiveness as it gives honor to God when I receive his mercy. Do you follow? It honors him when we receive mercy. Now let's consider that second lie of the enemy. Coming back to 1 John 1:9, he says, God is just in bringing cleansing to our lives. He's just. Well, this is something we can really struggle with as well, because if God cleanses us, that means he actually removes from us all traces of sin, all traces of uncleanness. And yet we're tempted to think, well, wait a minute. I just sinned like a minute ago. How can I be clean just by confessing it and repenting? And the answer is because it's a supernatural process that we are a part of. It's a supernatural work that God does in the power of salvation. The cleansing imparted to us through Yeshua is a supernatural work of cleansing. No, it does not make sense, but it's true. That's why Paul writes in Romans 5, we enter into grace, that realm of grace, through faith, through trusting. It doesn't make sense. And we've got to reckon with that. We think, well, there's no way it can be as simple as God just declaring me clean and righteous, and therefore I'm clean and righteous. I just did this, or I just thought those terrible thoughts. So we can experience those lingering doubts about our forgiveness and cleansing, and realize those doubts are rooted partly in our own inward sense of justice. We know God judges sin. And we know what we've done. We know what we deserve. And so it just doesn't make sense to our natural thinking, our natural minds, that we could be freed from guilt and cleansed of all unrighteousness. We think, if I'm being let off the hook, then justice is just not being carried out. But again, John tells us here, God is just in cleansing us. Paul uses a little different wording in Romans 3:26, where he says, God is just and the justifier of those who put their trust in Yeshua's righteousness. He's just and the justifier. In other words, God is just in justifying you and me. Justify, it simply means to declare us righteous and clean in his sight. God is just in doing that. It's not a violation of his righteous justice to declare us righteous. And so no matter how unclean we may feel when we've sinned, if we will confess our sin, acknowledge it before God, and we do so with a heart of repentance, a heart of sincerity, he really does remove the uncleanness from our lives. He really does do it. We may think, well, I struggle to believe this. It just seems too easy. Friends, get that idea out of your thinking, because in no way is forgiveness easy. It did not come to us cheaply. For Yeshua to go to the cross was not easy. But he paid a great price so that we would be able to trust in his forgiveness and his cleansing. So now think about the ramifications of this, of being cleansed of all unrighteousness. In God's eyes, I am clean, and he sees no unrighteousness in me. It's not like, well, God forgives me, but he still must be keeping track of all the ways that I've fallen short. No. 2 Corinthians 5 says he's not counting our sins against us. In other words, he's not keeping a record. He's not keeping a record of how we've fallen short. Yeah, you're confessing now, but I remember, I think you confessed the same thing a few weeks ago, and now here you are doing it. No, he's not keeping a record. We think, I just don't understand. How can this be? It's because God sees differently from how we see. It's a whole nother issue, a whole nother message, really. But God sees differently than we do. Does he hate sin? You better believe he hates sin. But he hates sin because of what it does to us, as well as he hates sin because it's a violation of the beauty of his holiness and his glorious nature. Another thought we're tempted is, well, yeah, God forgives me, but he must see me as a messed up failure. No, he doesn't see us that way. And it's crucial that we understand this, because if we believe God sees us as failures and misfits, then we can't help but wonder if at some point, is God just going to give up on me? Is he just going to say, sorry, I think you've proven that you can't measure up. Well, we do that every day. So we're in trouble if that's the case. If we believe God sees us as failures, then we can't help but wonder if at some point he's just going to give up on us. But see, he's got this vision for our lives, each and every one of us. He has more vision for us, I think, than we have for ourselves. And he is guiding us along and empowering us with his grace to come fully into that vision and walk out that vision and destiny that each one of us has. And he's not going to give up on us. The only ones who can give up, we can give up on ourselves, and often we do. But he's not giving up on you. But the fact that his cleansing in our lives is real means God is committed to giving us a new start every time we confess our sin and every time we repent. Every time. This is the truth that I think can be so hard for us to believe, and yet it's part of the goal of God forgiving us. In Yeshua, God removes from our lives all that is deserving of judgment. Everything. There's no way our natural minds can even take hold of this, which is why the only way we can see it all is by faith. It's the only way we can process it. Let me use a little different wording here to bring out another side of this issue. When we consider our attitudes or actions and how we've fallen short of God's righteousness, our inward sense of justice leaves us unsettled by the simplicity of the process of receiving forgiveness. We struggle to be at peace with the idea of being totally forgiven and cleansed just by confessing our sins. Well, we need to remind ourselves of Isaiah 53, the clearest description in the Hebrew Scriptures of Messiah's saving work. In verse 5, it says that the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Upon him, upon Yeshua, the punishment that was intended to bring us peace. Listen closely here. We feel like we should be punished, and we're right. But the Bible says Yeshua took our punishment upon himself. And God intended for that to bring us into a place of peace, meaning we don't have to have any doubt about our forgiveness. We can be totally at peace with the idea that God forgives me and makes me clean and righteous, regardless of what logic and reason and emotions may be trying to tell me. I don't have to doubt my forgiveness. If my righteous standing before God depends on my goodness or my deserving mercy, I will not be at peace. Do you follow? I will be troubled because I'm all too aware of my own lack of true goodness and perfection. I know what I deserve, and I think we all would probably say the same. But consider, Paul writes in Philippians about our hearts and minds being guarded by a peace that goes beyond the realm of natural understanding. When we dwell on the question of how can God forgive me when I've done this or I've done that, see, asking that question, we're trying to process God's forgiveness with our mind and our understanding. But we've got to see that his grace goes beyond understanding. And the peace he wants to bring to our hearts and minds as he forgives us, that is beyond our understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to make sense of it. The punishment for my peace was put upon Yeshua. I'm grateful for that every single day that I live. We all need to be. I'm reminded of Yeshua's words when he said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. I realize the context of him saying that is a little bit different, but the principle here is still the same. Man looks at his sin and shortcomings and sees forgiveness and cleansing impossible. But God sees differently. With God, my forgiveness is real, my cleansing is real, and I can believe that and trust in it. I love what's written in Psalm 103 where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my iniquities." The Hebrew for iniquities is the word avon, which speaks of more than just weakness and stumbling. It speaks of wickedness. And it says God forgives it all. He forgives it all. Let me just say again, because it's crucial for us to get this point. We have got to see the supernatural nature of the forgiveness we've been given. Romans 4:5 says he's the God who justifies or makes righteous the ungodly. Well, how can you do that? How do you make an ungodly, unrighteous person righteous? Well, it's a supernatural work. It doesn't make sense to our natural minds that we've got to accept that. So if we don't see forgiveness and cleansing as a supernatural work rather than a logical work or something that makes sense, we won't be able to fully receive forgiveness and be at peace with the idea of being forgiven and cleansed. We'll struggle to receive it because it's not reasonable to our natural thinking. But see, by faith, we can receive forgiveness as a supernatural miracle of God's grace. Do you see? Our seeing forgiveness as a supernatural transaction, having nothing to do with what we reasonably deserve, that's what enables us to see why faith is the only way we can receive it. And that releases us from having to somehow make sense of forgiveness. God is faithful in forgiving us, and he is just in cleansing us. We can count on being forgiven because God is faithful, and his mercy never runs out, and then we can be confident in our cleansing in spite of how we may feel about ourselves because God is just in calling us righteous. That means that God himself sees us as righteous and clean, and therefore he has no intention of giving up on you and me at times when we stumble. He cleanses us and makes us righteous because there's a destiny that he's bringing our lives into. Does that make sense? He's not giving up. Beloved, our life in God is part of a supernatural process in which we are learning day to day to be more and more like Yeshua. And while we are learning to be like Him, and while we are growing into that likeness to Him, and yet still falling short at times, through the process, God continues to see us as complete and righteous in Yeshua, in Messiah. We are, according to Colossians 1, holy and blameless and above reproach in His eyes, in His sight. And seeing us this way, He's not setting aside His righteousness or His justice. Jude 24, the verse I love, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless in the presence of His glory, and He goes on to say, with exceeding joy. The idea that God would be unjust or irresponsible to see me as righteous and clean, that's a lie from the enemy. That's just meant to take away your confidence that God sees you as clean. God is just in seeing us as holy and without blame. And so we've got to be seeing ourselves in the same way. See, realize something. If God merely covers over our sin, but then He leaves us still guilty and unclean, well, then we're left with no hope, honestly. It's our cleansing that enables us to see that we are free to move forward into calling and destiny without being weighed down and held back by our sins and failures. So God is both just, but He's also joyful in cleansing us. It's not like He does it begrudgingly. He's joyful to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless with great joy. He's joyful in doing it. So in those times when you've blown it and you're struggling to get out of feeling like a failure, struggling to believe His forgiveness, struggling to trust that your life, it really is on a path of righteousness, coming into or walking out a destiny from God. Remind yourself that He's faithful to forgive you, and He's totally just in cleansing you and calling you righteous. David wrote in Psalm 18:20, and actually in other places as well, he said, God rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. Wait a minute. David had some problems, didn't he? David did some really bad things. But he was also close to the heart of God. And when he saw his sin, he would repent. See, he understood the miracle of forgiveness and cleansing. Similarly, 1 Corinthians 4:4, Paul saying he was not aware of anything against himself, meaning in relation to sin. He said, I'm not aware of anything against myself. He did some pretty bad things too. But he fully received forgiveness and grace to the point that nothing of his past held him back or weighed on him. These heroes of faith, were they living in denial? No. They just had a revelation of the miraculous nature of God's forgiveness, the supernatural nature of the mercy of God. Something so powerful that it really did wipe away the guilt and the consciousness of the terrible sins of their past. If we don't get revelation of these truths, we'll just lean on our natural understanding, and too often, natural understanding will reject it. Now, one last thing, and then we'll close. Forgiveness releases us from something. It releases us from the guilt and punishment that our sins deserve. But then cleansing releases us into something. It releases us into God's ongoing work to make us like Yeshua. It releases us into a walk of increasing holiness over the course of a lifetime. It releases us into greater measures of our calling and destiny, because as those cleansed, we're not being held back by the weight of sin and guilt and condemnation, you see? The transformation that we desire for our lives, that's promised to us in His Word, that transformation is not a possibility unless we are cleansed of unrighteousness as well as forgiven of our sins. God's cleansing is what positions us to experience the freedom to move forward as He removes the weight of our sin. And while it may not make sense to you and me, God actually delights and has joy in doing this. He has joy in pronouncing over us forgiven, cleansed. He has joy in that. Psalm 149:4, the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He beautifies the humble with salvation. You need to remind yourself every day, God is at work to make you beautiful by His work of salvation, and that He takes pleasure in you, even as you're still in the process of becoming like Yeshua. He takes pleasure in you. Psalm 34:5, those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Focusing on ourselves, we'll end up ashamed. But focusing on Him and His undeserved mercy and grace that He gives us, we become radiant. It's a supernatural process. Remember that His mercies are new every morning. It's His mercy that greets us every single day when we wake up. I would encourage you, get in the habit of reminding your soul when you wake up every day, thank you, Lord, for new mercies. New mercies. His mercies just keep coming back day after day. You can't shake it. You can't outrun it. His mercy's a faster runner than you are. It's just going to keep coming back every single morning. So we might as well just believe it and accept it. Get in the habit of thanking God every day. Lord, thank you for new mercies today. Beloved, knowing the grace of God's forgiveness and cleansing is key to us fully receiving all that He has for us as we go through this High Holy Day season. The new beginnings that God highlights in this Holy Day season really is possible because God is faithful and He is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of unrighteousness. Let's just stand for a moment. And I want to pray and ask my wife, Jo, to come up. And she's got a couple of things that she wants to share. Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. And I pray for a fresh grace. Lord, especially for any here today who may struggle to break free from the sins of past, who may struggle to break free from condemnation. Lord, I pray that today would mark a point of a cutting off, a cutting free from the sins of the past, O God. Release your grace upon your people, Lord, for fully receiving your forgiveness, your mercy, and your cleansing. And we give you thanks and praise for that. B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, amen. Amen. Please be seated, and Jo has some things that the Lord gave her as she was praying this week for the congregation, and so I'll turn over to her.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Yes, when I was praying for you all before we came, the Lord just showed me just how much he loves you. He has such a tremendous love for all of you. And I felt like he just wants to pour out that love on all of you. And this is what he said to me. I have clothed you in garments of righteousness and praise. My love is steadfast and faithful toward you. The light of my presence is shining on you. Fix your eyes on me, for I am gathering you to myself. I am making you into strong trees of righteousness for my name's sake. I have planted you here that I may be glorified. Incline your ears to hear my word. In it you will find life. I am pouring out my glory on you. But no, it's not going to look like it's all like you're expecting it to look. Prepare your hearts. I am doing a new thing in your midst. I am restoring and rebuilding in many areas. I desire that you be in unity. There is a great need in the body of Messiah for unity. Where there is no unity, the body suffers and cannot move forward. Cultivate unity. Work for it. Contend for it. I am calling you to move forward as one into a deeper and closer walk with me. Be aware of the many distractions that rob you of your time and attention, for your time and attention. There is much happening around you, but learn to focus more on what I am saying and doing rather than what is going on in the world. Do away with all distractions and attitudes that will pull you away from focusing on me. Then I heard two words, discovery and development. And I felt he said, you are entering a time of discovery and development. I am calling you to prepare for what is to come. Discover and develop the gifts of the Spirit. You have many gifts among you, but you must learn more about them and how to use them. Contend for it. This is your inheritance. I am saying to you, build up, prepare, for I will use you to bring light into the darkness of this region. The enemy has set a mark on this state, but I have redeemed it for my purposes. Learn to contend for all I have given you as your inheritance in the Spirit. The opposition is great, but I am greater. Learn how to use your weapons of warfare. I have called you to be my hands, feet, and voice. Press in to know me more. Fix your eyes on me, and then stand and see what your God will do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I really feel like those words resonate well, especially as you were sharing about, you know, the development of the gifts of the Spirit in the congregation. I really feel like that is something that that discovery and that development is something where we really do need to move in that direction in the gifts of the Spirit. And so thank you for that. And Rabbi Jerry, also for your word on grace and how, and the forgiveness and how illogical it really truly is. We can't we cannot understand that. And if that resonated with you, I would certainly invite you to go more in depth with Rabbi Jerry. He did write a book on this, Grace Beyond Reason. So this is his book. How can they get this? What's the easiest way that if they want to get a copy of this? Your website? Graceempowers.org. Graceempowers.org. Or Amazon. They have it online. Audiobooks are on the Amazon as well, or on Audible? Okay. Is it your voice? Wow. There you go. You can hear him read his own book. So that's good. It's always fun when the author does it on their own. I did want to ask you guys, how can we, as a congregation, can we pray for Jerry and Joe Miller? How can we, what is the way that we can pray for you guys in your life and your ministry right now?
You could pray that the Lord would just continue to guide us. And with COVID and everything, we haven't been able to travel. And but now that things are opening up, we're beginning to travel again, and not internationally. I think that probably the Lord is having us stay either local or within the United States. So you can pray for discernment for us, and that the Lord would open the doors that He wants to open. Our heart is to minister the Word of God to the congregations and to help out any way we can with the Messianic congregations. That's our heart. Our heart is to raise up the young people, raise up the next generation, and also to learn how to walk in the Spirit and in the spiritual gifts. So just pray that God would open doors that He wants us to walk through. Thank you.
Well, let's just pray for them now, Lord. We do pray for Rabbi Jerry. We pray for Joe as well. We just thank you for them and their ministry. We thank you for their work that you are obviously empowering in them, Lord, and the grace that you have given them. So we do pray for discernment. We pray for wisdom and how you are using them and the doors that are going to open up for them, Lord, and the places they will go, the congregations that you will minister to through them, Lord. So we just thank you for the opportunities and that you are placing in front of them, that you would give them discernment and vision, ears to hear where they need to go, eyes to see where you are working, and the gifts that you are developing in the places that they are going. So we just pray your blessing over them. We thank you for the message that they have shared with us this morning. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, amen.